Hello, welcome back to the Coach on Your Below the Bar podcast. So I was originally supposed to upload this while I was away, but the internet speed for uploading was absolutely atrocious. Even when it came to me uploading videos on my Instagram stories, it was really, really slow. So when it came to me uploading a podcast that was almost a half hour long, I was just pissing against the wind. So I decided to just wait to upload it. So this week's episode is about healthy eating and why it's not enough if you are striving for fat loss. So I just have my notes here in front of me because it was something I used to do back a long time ago, you know, before I became educated on what a calorie deficit is and fat loss and how to do it properly. I used to think just eating like bright colored foods, fruit and veg, was the way to do it. I didn't know anything about protein and how it keeps you full, eating at the same meal times every day, you know, just proper nutrition and fueling the body properly. And yeah, so that's what this podcast is about, because I know there's people out there who, you know, you think of the millions and billions of people actually in this world who probably still don't know what a calorie deficit is. And that's okay, because I didn't for a very long time either, and you know, most of the world didn't. It's only, I'd say, in the last, say, two decades that people have become educated on a calorie deficit. People are more aware of it and how to do it properly, because you know, I always remember like sitting in like doctor's surgeries, dentists and stuff like that, or hairdressers, and the magazines that would be out on the table, and they would just be full of these fad diets, cut out this, don't do this. You know, it was just absolutely crazy, but nothing about a calorie deficit. Well, at the bottom of it all, it is a calorie deficit. When you open a magazine and it has this fad diet and it's like, cut out sugar for 6 weeks, you're cutting X amount of calories out of your diet every day. You're cutting out anything that has sugar in it. And, you know, those foods have calories. You're cutting out X amount of calories every day. It's nothing to do with the sugar. You know, so if you go from having 2 to 3 chocolate bars a day, or, you know, something else with sugar in it, and you cut that out of your diet every day, you're cutting X amount of calories out of your diet. It's nothing to do with the sugar. It's, you're putting yourself into a calorie deficit without knowing it. But anyway, there's so many different spokes to why eating healthy isn't enough. All right, so let's jump into it. So, you know, the majority of the time we should be eating good foods, good whole foods. So by that I mean that 80% of your diet should be whole foods, really good nutrition, fruit and veg, good protein sources, good carb sources, and healthy fats. Okay, so we'll talk a bit about that later on. And 20% should be the foods that we enjoy, the fun foods like the biscuits, the crisps, the chocolate, stuff that it shouldn't be the other way around. Like, we shouldn't be having 80% of our diet being crisps, biscuits and chocolate, and only 20% good foods, because that isn't healthy. You know, that's, we're not going to get any benefits from that. We're not going to get any energy. We're just going to feel fatigued all the time. We're going to feel like shit. Eat shit, feel shit. And if you are going to the gym and eating like that, you're going to get very, very hungry very, very quickly. You're going to feel very fatigued all the time, and you ain't going to build any muscle, because there's zero protein in a diet like that. All right, and it's unsustainable. So when we are in a calorie deficit, the same still applies. So we want 80% of our calorie deficit to be whole foods, good nutrition, and 20% of the fun foods. But the good thing is about when we are in a calorie deficit and we're tracking, okay, we know exactly how many calories is coming in and we know how many calories is going out, e.g., you know, our steps, our cardio, etc. But when we're just eating healthy, we're not tracking. Let's just pretend you don't even know what tracking is, tracking your calories, don't know what MyFitnessPal is, you don't know what a calorie deficit is. Let's go back to the early 2000s when nobody knew what a calorie deficit was, and everyone just thought, I'm just going to eat healthy and I'm going to lose body fat. So that's a very aimless approach, okay? Because it's basically like wearing a dart. It's like wearing a blindfold and throwing darts at a dartboard, because we don't know that we're in a calorie deficit. We're just eating healthy and we're stepping on the scale every week, and we don't know why it's not dropping, why it's stalling, because we don't actually know how many calories we're eating. And that's why eating healthy isn't enough, okay? We need to be able to measure what's coming in and what's going out. Otherwise, it is a bit aimless. Like, look, you can eat healthy and drop body fat, but we need to do it in the right way. Now, we'll get to that by the end of the episode, okay? But I'm just going to run over briefly. I have my notes here. So yeah, you can still drop body fat by eating healthy, but you've nothing to measure, okay? So we need to be able to spot what's going wrong. And that's what I like about tracking calories, because at least if we're tracking for 3 weeks and it's not stalling, you're being by the book, you're not having off-plan meals, you know, You're not excessively drinking on the weekends. You're being really, really by the book. We're like, okay, we'll drop 50 calories per day, maybe even less, 40 calories per day, and we'll see if something changes. And then the scale does start to move down the line. Okay, it's like 2 or 3 weeks later. At least give it 2 or 3 weeks. Okay, great. We found out what the issue is. But if you're just eating healthy, and you know you're just doing random exercises, random workouts, and the scale is fluctuating. It's up 1 week, it's stalling the next, it's down 1 week, it's back up. We don't know where to start. We don't know what the issue is because we can't measure it. So that's why I do like tracking calories, and I would recommend anyone to do it for 2 to 3 weeks, just so you can get an idea of how it actually, it helps you realize the portions of food that you're eating. And you know, one of the biggest mistakes I made in the beginning is constantly eating that bright colored food, e.g. fruit and veg, and completely eliminating any foods I liked, like biscuits, chocolate. I'm a big biscuit person. Bread, sugar, like back when I believed it was all to do with what you eat and not how much calories you actually consume. It would always start on a Monday. Boresome of motivation, I'm gonna stick to this until it's day, I'd say, 4 of bland chicken salads and plain chicken and rice for dinner, and I'm slowly starting to lose my mind here. Right, I have to keep this up for 8 weeks. This is absolute torture. So day one, I thought I was on top of the world. I can't wait to stick to this. I'm going to be a different person. And then reality soon hits. And then I'd end up caving. And then I'd binge by the weekend. And it'd start all again on Monday. All right. The second mistake I would make is I would get into the habit of villainizing certain foods. And this is another downside of just eating healthy, okay? I would villainize certain foods. So I would separate them and I'd put them into two categories, good and bad. I still have people in my life, particularly the older generation, I still have people in my life that when I offer them a biscuit or a packet of crisps when they drop over, you know, they would be inclined to say, oh, no, thanks. I'm trying to be good. And I'm looking at them after losing 2.5 stone, from still eating biscuits and crisps in moderation nearly every day. And I'm thinking, you're not going to get far with that mindset. And I used to be that person too. When I would eat foods that weren't good for me, I'd be riddled with guilt. Well, when I say good, I'm going to put that in air quotes, okay? I'd be riddled with guilt. I failed. I'm a failure. I'm going to put it all back on. I can't do this. I can't stick to this. And I just go off on a binge again and wait till Monday to attempt that same diet for the 100th time. It was another vicious cycle. And that's how all these crash diets become so successful. Cut out this food and you'll lose fat. Cut out this, cut out that, cut out X, Y, and Z and you'll lose fat. You're actually just eliminating X amount of calories a day, like I said earlier. And then you're villainizing sugar. Sugar's the issue. And you're going around spreading false information to people. Just cut out sugar and you'll drop body fat. You know, losing body fat, losing a stone in 4 weeks, fair play to you. That's impressive. But you know what's really impressive? Let's see, can you keep the weight off you for the rest of the year using that same approach? Come back to me in another 8 weeks and I guarantee you will have put the weight back on, because it's unsustainable. And I harp on about this all the time, but look at the diet that you're currently doing. Could you stick to that for the rest of your life? If you are currently suffering 3 days into this crash diet that you're trying, if you are suffering already 3 days, you know, maybe a week in, you will not be able to sustain that, and you need to be able to sustain that. The diet that I found worked for me most is flexible dieting, and that's the 80-20 rule. You know, eat good whole food. Sorry, I keep using that word good. I don't mean to. I don't like using good and bad, but I mean, like, you know, the better foods for, you know, fuel and nutrition, like good sources of carbs, good sources of protein, and good sources of fats. Okay, so there's no good and bad foods, but there's foods that will benefit you more in terms of fuel. Okay, so I like to look at food as fuel, but then I also like to have fun foods. Okay, I don't like eliminating any foods. I love a biscuit as much as the next person. I always have one after my breakfast. It's nice and sweet, a chocolate digestive. And then I, you know, have other things throughout the day as well. But I would always recommend to include foods like that, because it's easier to sustain. So if you're starting one of these diets and you're cutting out all your favorite foods, lads, it's not going to last. It's not. It's just so stop striving for eating healthy and eliminating any foods that you think are bad, in air quotes, because it's all in moderation. We can still enjoy foods we love every day. You don't have to be suffering. Like, you don't have to be cutting out foods that you enjoy. There's no need for it. There's absolutely no need for it. And you know, it's funny because when I used to work in offices or, you know, work in retail, I go to shop on my break. Now, this is before I ever got into like being a PT, before I educated myself. I'd go into the shop on my break while I was trying to eat healthy, all right, air quotes, to lose body fat. You know, I'd just get to a point where I'm like, I'm sick of how I look. I want to do something about this. Eat shit, feel shit. That's never used to move, never used to exercise. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to eat healthy from now on. And I'd go into the shop and I'd look at something that I thought was healthy, and I'd pick up like one of those granola yogurt pots. All right, granola is like that kind of crunchy, like nuts and stuff like that, and seeds like mashed up with honey and stuff, and they put it in yogurt. And I just assume granola and fruit together, that's healthy, I'll just have that. Now I know that granola is very high in calories, and I still eat it from time to time, but just in smaller portions, and I would use a food scale so I know how much calories is in it. But I wouldn't even be in the mindset of checking the back of packets back then to look at the calories and the protein content. So there's me thinking I'm eating healthy and I'm eating something that's about 500 calories with 10 grams of protein. And I wonder why I'm starving half an hour later. And FYI, 10 grams of protein for every 100 calories is really good. So if you're eating something that has 500 calories in it and, you know, per 100 calories, it only has about 2 grams of protein, that's kind of shit. And you will probably feel very hungry, and just watch out for that as well, because you think you're eating healthy just because it has plastered across the packet, good protein source, and then you look at the back of it, it has 600 calories in it, whatever it is, and there's only about 20 grams of protein in it. Like, that's pretty shit. But again, companies are able to do it because once there's protein in it, they can slap that on the front of that packet, and it fools people, and they're not even checking the back of the packets, or they don't understand the ratio of protein per calories, you know. So, for example, I would have 200 grams of 5% mince with my dinner, and there's like 40 grams of protein in that. Like, that's really, really good. I can't think off the top of my head how many calories. I think it could be like 350 calories. Yeah, so that's really good. And, you know, if a meal in general is like 500 calories and it has like 50 grams of protein, that's really good. That's like 10 grams per 100 calories. So, you know, that could be a mixture of mince, rice, sauce, etc. So yeah, that's really good. But, you know, I chose that granola pot when I could have had a protein bar and a protein yogurt in the same shop for 400 calories and 40 grams of protein. All right, that's 10 grams per 100 calories. There's 20 grams of protein in the Fulfill protein bar. That's about 200 calories. And the protein yogurt could be about 200 calories and have 20 grams of protein in it. All right, but back then I'm just thinking, oh, fruit, granola, yogurt, that looks healthy. And you start villainizing the chocolate, you know. So, but I didn't know that at the time. So that's an example of, you think you're eating healthy, but the food you're choosing are actually probably very high in calories. And if you're not tracking your calories or have no idea about the benefits of protein, you could actually end up being in a calorie surplus most days, unbeknownst to you. You know, if you're not tracking and you're just eating healthy. And what do we have to be in to lose body fat? A calorie deficit, which is very hard to achieve if we don't know how many calories we're actually eating. Like, there's no way of knowing you're in a calorie deficit. You're just hoping you are. You then have the opposite end of the spectrum, where people are excessively exercising and eating healthy, and they think it's working, so they keep it up. But remember here, it's not the healthy food that's doing it. It's you're expending so much energy, e.g. burning calories, in such an unsustainable way. So for example, your calorie deficit could be, let's just call this girl Mary. Mary's calorie deficit could be 1500, and she doesn't notice at the time, all right? Like, yeah, 1500. And let's say the amount of food Mary's eating daily is adding up to 2,500 calories, all right? So she, unbeknownst to her, she's in a calorie surplus. You are 1,000 calories over your deficit, all right? So she's in a surplus now. Like, 500 calories over your deficit would be maintenance. 1,000 calories over your calorie deficit is a surplus. And if you ate like that for a week, you'd probably start putting on body fat over time, all right? Over the course of a couple of months. What you're doing along, you're doing excessive exercising, and you think you've cracked the code because you're losing body fat. You're doing one spin class a day. You're walking 20K steps a day. And you're doing a boot camp style class 5 times a week. That's so unsustainable, all right? And after 2 weeks, you see the scale drop and you're like, yes, I've cracked the code, this is working. And then, you know, week 4 comes around and you're starting to feel the effects on your body. You can't keep this up. You're getting hungrier because you're exercising so much. You're expending so much energy. You're burning so many calories. The food that you're eating is literally coming back out. true energy, your cravings start to increase. It's getting harder to stick to it. And what you once thought was great, was a great diet, is soon becoming a type of mental torture. Okay, 4 weeks into it, you end up throwing the towel in. You're like, yeah, I can't do this. But you're going around, everyone's like, oh my God, you're dropping body fat. Oh my God, you look amazing. And it's like, yeah, let me tell you how I got there, by fucking suffering. Like, that's exactly what it is. It's unsustainable. And you don't need to do that to drop body fat. You don't need to be killing yourself. You don't. But again, you're learning this because you might have learned it from a friend. You could have heard, oh, we tried this and, you know, I dropped body fat. It was great. Try it yourself. And then you're doing it. And, you know, you see these people who live in spin classes and they're still kind of eating shit. And, you know, they probably have one healthy meal a day and they think it's that one healthy meal that's doing it. And it's not. It's the excessive exercising. And you couldn't do that every day for the rest of your life. And you want to be able to stick to something that you can stick to for the rest of your life, because you're going to be able to sustain that. Not that we have to diet every day, but we want to live a certain way that when we do go into a dieting phase, we don't have to change much. We just have to drop the amount of calories that we're eating and, you know, maybe increase our energy expenditure a little bit. So, you know, maybe extra steps, maybe increase our cardio a tiny bit more than what we're usually doing. That's all it takes. You don't need to be doing these mad diets and this mad exercise routine, okay? So sometimes it's not the healthy eating that's making you drop the body fat. It's the excessive exercising. And what can happen is it can have a negative impact on your body, because you do start losing body fat, okay? But you're not building any muscle because you're not lifting any weights. You're just doing excessive cardio. And the scale will start to drop and you'll think, great, I've cracked the code. I'm actually losing body fat. This is working, thank God. Then the scale will start to stall, okay? Because you're putting so much stress on your body, and that can cause cortisol, which is the stress inducing hormone in your body, to spike. And when cortisol spikes in the body, we retain water, okay? And when we retain water, the scale weight is going to go up because water weighs something, okay? And that's why it starts stalling, because you're putting so much stress on your body. So don't believe in this whole starvation mode, all right? Because there's two aspects to starvation mode. Starvation mode isn't a thing, all right? People say that if you undereat too much, you stop losing body fat. What happens is when you extremely undereat for the amount of activity you're doing, you end up binging, all right? And that's how the scale starts stalling, because you're nearly eating back the calories on the weekends, because you just can't sustain that 7 days a week. You can only do it for about five, or else cortisol spikes and you're retaining water, and that's why the scale's not budging, because there's so much stress being put on your body, all right? That's the two ways that can go: undereating and overexercising, all right? So that's one of the downsides to just eating healthy and excessively exercising. And then see, with all the exercise that you're doing, you're actually probably burning 1,000 calories, which is bringing you back down to Mary's calorie deficit, 1,500 calories. You know, so 2,500 calories becomes 1,500 because of the amount of calories that she's burning. Again, this is a rough estimate. And I'm a big believer in more activity, more food. I really am. Like, the more active you are, the more food you can consume, because you're going to need fuel. But they're empty calories, you know, they're filled with foods that you think are healthy, but they lack protein, you know, which is responsible for muscle growth and repair and also keeping you full. And you're picking foods with zero fat in them. Like, you know, I used to be guilty of that, going towards foods in shops that had like 0% fat. Oh, great winner. There's not going to be much calories in this. But dietary fat is an energy source too, lads. Our body uses it as a secondary source of fuel. So don't let 0% fat fuel you. We need healthy fats in our diet. It helps us absorb vitamins that can't be absorbed by the body itself. So vitamins such as A, D, we get vitamin D from the sun, and vitamin E. And healthy fats are essential for hormone production and function. And what are healthy fats? So we have olive oil, nuts, nut butters like peanut butter, almond butter, seeds, fish, etc. Another downside to eating empty calories is, if you're under the assumption you're eating healthy, is you could also lack good carb sources. So, you know, you think granola is a carb source, it's healthy. It's actually a fast releasing carb. So if you eat that, you're going to feel the energy benefits within 20 minutes. Where if you eat a bowl of oats, that's going to be released slowly into your system over an hour and a half. So yeah, we need like good carb sources that are going to, you know, give us energy for longer, not just little short bursts. So you know, these fancy fruit bowls and stuff like that, and then by the end of the evening you reward yourself with 3 chocolate bars because you're actually starving. And then, you know, you could be back up to maintenance calories or in a surplus again. Like, so there's just so many downsides to just eating healthy by itself and not tracking. There's zero nutrition in that lifestyle. And I always say, look at a diet. I know I'm repeating myself. Look at the diet you're currently doing. And could you stick to that for the rest of your life? No, well, then it's not going to work long term, okay? So what is the best approach? So if someone said to me after 3 weeks of tracking, let's say Mary comes to me and she says, I hate tracking, it does my head in, I don't want to do it anymore, but I still want to drop body fat, please tell me there's another approach. Well, first of all, I'd say, okay, Mary, well, we do have to be in a calorie deficit. We're not going to be able to measure it like very well if we aren't tracking it, but we can give it a good bash and there is ways to do it. It might be a bit slower than someone who is tracking their calories, but it is possible if we do it the right way. So I've educated her on what a calorie deficit is, why we need to be in one, why we need protein in our diet, carbs and healthy fats. And I'll tell Mary, okay, we're going to have 3 meals a day and 2 snacks. The 3 meals have to have a protein source, and she'll have an idea of how big a protein source she'll need with each meal by, you know, from her tracking for the last 2 weeks. So she'll have some education on, you know, portion sizes, etc. She'll know there'll be about 20 grams of protein in a chicken fillet, or, you know, 40 grams of protein and a half pack of lean mince. Have one carb source with each meal, so that could be potatoes, baby potatoes, rice, chips in an air fryer, and then like a teaspoon of peanut butter with our breakfast for healthy fats, and maybe a teaspoon of olive oil with one of our meals. And veggies have to take up half the plate, okay? And flavor as much as she can, so that way like the food tastes nice and it's not bland. She'll be able to sustain, you know, eating like that for a longer period of time. Flavor as much as you can with spices, low calorie sauces. And she has to eat at the same time. She has to eat the same meal times every day to regulate her hunger hormones, so the body adapts to a feeding schedule and it stops her from feeling hungry at random times of the day. And out of her 2 snacks, one has to be a piece of fruit and one has to be something that she likes. So like, you know, 2 biscuits or a chocolate bar. Now use your head here, not a sheer size bag of Maltesers, okay? She might have a small bag of Maltesers instead. So yeah, be smart about it. All right, use your head here. It's not like a sheer size packet of crisps or a sheer size chocolate bar. Use your head. And make sure like it's a nice chocolate bar and it's not like one of those little fiber one bars, because sometimes that's not enough and you might still be craving something after it. Like, so have a chocolate bar that you enjoy. It could be a Star bar, it could be a Twirl, something like that. I mean, I have probably a chocolate bar every day. So, you know, once you are in a calorie deficit, I know we're not being able to measure it, you know, we're not going to be able to measure it very accurately if we're just eating healthy and not tracking. But, you know, it's as close as possible as we're going to get without tracking, doing it like this. So I'm not going to give her a meal plan. I'm not going to tell her what exactly to eat, because some people can't really abide by meal plans. They feel very restricted. And when they go out to a restaurant, then they're like, what the hell do I order? I've been eating off a meal plan for the last 3 weeks. Like, what am I going to do here? Just use your noggin if you have to go out to eat, you know, a high protein source meal. Let's try not go for a chip or like something deep fried when you're out with the family. Just go for something like chicken fajitas or something. So something with a protein source in it. And, you know, if you're getting a burger, there's 2 carb sources in that. So that's the burger bun and then like a load of chips on the side. Like, you don't have to have chips with everything, but, you know, you could have a salad instead. I know when I go to Nando's I'm in a calorie deficit, I'll get the chicken and then I'll get the rice and then I'll get a side salad. So that's the carb source, protein source, and get me veggies. So yeah, she has to eat at the same time every day. She has to include 2 snacks, one a piece of fruit, one something she likes. And that's what eating healthy and dropping body fat at the same time looks like. Although we don't know exactly what she's eating, it's still packed with proper nutrition. She's more of a chance sticking to it long term. Some weeks she might only drop a pound or half a pound, I mean, and you know, other weeks she'll drop a pound, other weeks she won't drop anything. But once she's aware of this going into it, that's the downside to not measuring your calories, not tracking your calories. But once she's aware of that and she accepts that she's going to lose it at a bit of a slower rate compared to someone who is tracking their calories, but it's something that she's able to sustain and she enjoys it and she can stick to it and she will get results regardless. Maybe not as quick as someone who is tracking, like I said, but she will get results, okay? So that's what eating healthy looks like. And she'll obviously be following a gym program as well, and eating sufficient protein, and she's fueling herself properly, okay? So that's what eating healthy looks like, and being able to drop body fat, not just going into a shop looking at a food and thinking that looks healthy and it things laced with calories and you're wondering why you're not losing body fat, all right? Because at the end of the day, you're probably ending up in a surplus. So what I would recommend is maybe track for 2 to 3 weeks so you can get an idea of portion sizes, protein sources, etc. You know, what's in what. And then you could go off on your own. But this whole thing of I'm being good, I'm eating healthy, it just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't, because you know, you probably think, oh, I'm using olive oil, and you're pouring like half a cup into the pan, and that's probably like 400 calories. And you're thinking, well, I eat healthy, so, you know, I'm going to lose body fat. And you're doing that every day with the olive oil. Like, that's laced with calories, which is why I recommend a teaspoon. You know, by the end of the week, you're probably up 2,000 calories just from olive oil alone. So that is why I do prefer tracking. Like, it's not impossible to lose body fat without tracking. I've just explained how we could do it without tracking. But they are the two arguments, okay? So the next time you offer someone a chocolate bar, if they come out for a cup of tea and they say, no, I'm being good, just know that, you know, they're probably not that educated when it comes to fat loss, and they're still kind of stuck in that mindset of eating healthy is the best way to go and excessively exercising. Sometimes people stick to the way they're eating and they just start walking and they start losing body fat, because they probably, you know, a lot of people, they think they're probably eating a lot of shit, but they're not. And they probably are eating a lot of shit, actually, to be honest, but they're not in a calorie surplus. And let's say Mary again, her calorie deficit is 1600 calories, okay? And she's probably eating thereabouts that every day, but she thinks that she's eating a lot more, and she's not. That's probably all she's eating. And, you know, she starts walking, and she's probably burning about 300 to 400 calories a day just by walking 10,000 steps. Like, she is putting herself in a calorie deficit, and she hasn't changed anything about her diet. She's probably making better food choices, so she's not really eating takeaways anymore as much as she did. She's probably eating one a week instead of 3 to 4. She's probably eating one chicken fillet roll a week now instead of 3 to 4. Like, those little kind of swaps do make massive difference as well. But please don't go for the all or nothing approach where you have to completely eliminate foods and you just eat fruit and veg and, you know, bland chicken with everything. It just doesn't work in the long term. So to conclude, it is possible to lose body fat by eating healthy with the right foods, the right nutrition, the right fuel, and the right exercise program. So, you know, I still wouldn't wing it. If I was you, I would probably go to a coach. Again, try the tracking method, and if it doesn't work, then we can still go down the route of, you know, having the 3 meals a day with 2 snacks, etc. But again, eating healthy isn't enough. Like, there needs to be an exercise program, there needs to be protein sources, there just needs to be, you know, good nutrition. Food is fuel. You need to be fueling your body properly for the amount of exercise that you're doing. And you're not just like covering your eyes and, like I said, throwing a dart at a dartboard to blindfold it. That's what it's like. So I hope that makes sense. And I have a challenge that's starting on the 23rd of October. I have advertised it. You could be listening to this in the future, and this is completely irrelevant to you. But yeah, I'm going to start an 8-week challenge, and it's going to start on the 23rd of October and go right up to the 18th of December. So people will be able to drop a bit of body fat before they go into Christmas period. And then you'll automatically be signed up to my January one if you wish to carry on. And you won't have to apply again then for the January challenge. But the application's closed tonight, actually. So I will have a waiting list. If I have about 20 to 30 places, because that's all I can take on at the moment. If they aren't all filled, I will go to my cancellation list. And if it means that you have to start the challenge a few days later, just, you know, the onboarding process takes a while, like getting everyone's program ready and stuff. Yeah. I will keep people updated about that on my Instagram story. I hope this podcast has helped. And if you have any suggestions on what I could talk about in the future, do let me know. Otherwise, thanks again for listening, and tune into the next one.